For more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
2 weeks ago, I talked about God has a plan for you, for you to be prospered, not be harmed. And today I want to share the message from, let's first turn to Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, start at 20. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. You know, a lot of time we think what is the best for us, but deep in our heart, when we pray, we know something is different than what God wants us to do. And sometimes we are struggling to follow the Lord, because the things God wants us to do kind of like not the highest according to human wisdom, you know. And sometimes we are pressured by what other people think, what's this society's standards, and sometimes it's hard for us to decide to follow the Lord. But here, go down a little bit down, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, start verse 14. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And it's important to spend time with the Lord, because the more we spend time with the Lord, the more we understand God is a good God. God wants us to be prosperous, to have long, to have happy life, to have peace with one another, and to be the light and the salt. You know, it's the goodness of God. This is called good news about Jesus Christ to bring people to God. Mm. And I want to talk about John. Let's turn to John 15. We'll start 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. And the things is God, you know, here talk about friendship with us. Talk about God calling us friend. As a servant, I don't know what the master is doing. And as early I said, if we pray, if we seeking God, God will reveal us, each one of us. God give each one of us a different gift. And God ask us to do different things, to be fruitful, to reach out where you are. And, you know, sometimes different season, God do ask you different things. And for us, if we truly love the Lord, we will spend time with the Lord. We will ask God what God wants us to do for now time. Maybe the things God asks you to do is not very popular by this world, but if you obey the Lord, Lord will protect you, and the Lord will help, not only help you, but also will help your spouse, your children, and the generation to come. Yesterday, one thing Don said to the other guy who is Chinese about how we pick private coach to teach our kids play baseball and softball. The way he said it really is like struck me. He said, I choose the instructor who their kids are good also. That's sure they know how to teach little kids. Sometimes you are great in one thing, but that doesn't mean you have the way to reach the kids, to tell them the things they understand. You know, we are very blessed because the private instructor we have, they care about our children. They not only care about our children, but they are just sincere to all the kids they teach. And when you see them teach other kids, you just know they love what they are doing. They want the kids to rise up among others. They want them to be successful, you know. And I tell you, kids, they know you truly care about them or not. And the way how you teach them, it will affect their life. We pick Wayne's name. Actually, Don picked the Wayne's name. Wayne's name is a strong will to be a strong leader. And these are things that we also teach him. Do not be afraid to make mistakes. You learn by you try and try, practice and practice. If you don't give up, you will be good at whatever you're doing. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, whatever you do, be a good one. Babe Ruth said, it's hard to beat somebody who never give up. You know, in this world, not only Bible has a lot of example how these people, they have weakness, but they overcome the weakness. They choose to follow the Lord, and how God forgive their sin and give them another chance. You know, it's about a heart issue. God wants us to truly seek Him and love Him. God is not afraid we make mistakes. You know, we take ACT several times. We're not saying, oh, why this time, you know, we want to get a certain point, why didn't... Hey, you know, it's only a test. And you can take another time. You know, it's only a test. You can always can take more time if you, more times if you want to. You know, in life, it's not everything in perfect condition. You know, so-and-so will say, oh, if I have several ladies said, Julie, if I have a husband, I will be happy. I don't ask God anything else. I just want to have a husband. Okay? We will pray for you to have a husband and pray for godly men in your life. And guess what? When they had a husband, they said, Julie, if I have kids, I will be truly happy. Well, let's pray the Lord will give you children. Okay? Well, then you have children, then you are still unhappy. Okay, that shows something else make you unhappy. God want you happy. God want you be the light and the salt. Sometimes, if we don't spend time with the Lord, we will concentrate on the minor things, make a molehill as a mountain. And the result, we are concentrated on wrong thing. You know? The friendship is important, you know? I had a book besides the Bible. I try to read every day one page or whatever. And yesterday I read, it's like one good one is better than three fair ones. Talk about friends. One good friend is better than three fair ones. It's like, wow. Sometimes we think, you know, I mean, if you see the news or read the newspaper, it's like, oh, so-and-so has how many people follow on Twitter's? Yeah. It's like, wow. And they are always just, you know, so-and-so has more people on Twitter's or whatever. And, you know, God wants us to use different technology to reach people, to tell the world about the good news. But sometimes we need to know what God wants us to do. You know, broad is great, but the depth is important too. You know, Johanna, today I practiced with her. I said, you know, since tonight you have a team practice, Daddy said it will be sweet and short, which means it's quality, not quantity. Each pitch, give yourself 3 seconds, so you will pitch good pitch. And guess what? We spend less time. She had a better practice. And earlier I told Dana I hands kind of like had a little bit of infection, whatever. You know, my mother said, "Oh, you try to don't do anything. Don't do anything, and so it will heal faster." I said, "Grandma, I will not just because this a little bit a skin infection and don't do nothing. All I need to do is just wear glove. I can do whatever normally do. You know, don't give up so easily in life." I'm very proud of William. William trying to, he is not good enough to play for school basketball, on school basketball team. But he loves play basketball. So he go online to searching where the place he can play. And he found a league in Norman. He spent about 1 month, found a league, playing Norman is against adults. And guess what? Nobody take him, so he formed a team. He formed a team, and he has a piece of paper who play what position and what to do. And he formed a team. He gathered the kids who are not very good. Maybe they will lose all season, but at least they had a place to play. Make things happen. You know, something, if success is this easy, then everybody can be success. You know, if follow the Lord is very easy, then everybody will follow the Lord. But as you read the Bible, so many Abraham and Joseph, they all go through so many trials. They all have so many chances. They can be discouraged and they were discouraged. But one character they have, they don't give up. They decide follow the Lord no matter what. If it is a decision, follow the Lord is a decision. If you truly believe the things you do is follow the Lord, then no matter what's look like, Last week, I read one book. It's all about, it's a short story, and it's all about the people how overcome the disability to do the marathon and to do other things, you know. And one soldier, his leg all the way to here, all the way down, is gone because of the war, you know. But he used a fake leg. He ran the marathon, and the other girl who is a surfer and the shark bite one arm off, and she still surf, and you know. Earlier this year, had one marathon in Oklahoma City, and one girl who broke the leg, and she has the cast on it, and she ran the marathon, and she said, and she finished. As a matter of fact, she broke the record. Another person who has the cast and ran the marathon. She said, I choose to do it because if I can do it, I have broken leg, I can run the marathon. Everybody else can do it. I saw the news. It's like, wow, so inspiring. So inspiring. Sometimes I watch Joyce Meyer's show, and you know, not everything she says I agree, but the one thing I really like her is, even though she has very hard childhood, she still come out great. She reached lots of women, and by her, she's not shy talk about her past. And she used her life to show the goodness of God, to encourage other people. I can do it. You can do it too. You know. I always tell my kids. I said, you know, whatever you do, do your best. And you never know who is watching. And sometimes we go to field, people we don't know them, but they know Johanna. They, hi, Johanna, and who is this guy? Or who is this lady, you know? And that's because they know Johanna is a hard-working person. Does she have a gift? Oh, yeah, she has the gift. She's strong. She has good mechanic. But she practices a lot. I have one lady talk to me. At that time, we had we trying to start a women's group, and so we have like five lady together, and we talk about how to do our meeting, blah blah blah. And I just feel the Lord wanted me to tell them, I don't care what you do, but I can do. We will meet at a hotel. And I will make sure the bathroom has a toilet paper towel. I will make sure have a tissue, because this lady, they like to cry. So I said, I will make sure have a bathroom and toilet paper and paper towel and soap. And I will make sure we have plenty napkins. And I can be a greeter, and whatever else I can do, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. And the other lady said, I have a prophetic gift, and I can just, you know, preach and prophesy over people. And well, I just feel the Lord said, hey, just be quiet. I didn't say anything. And later on, I talked to the lady who started this women's group. I said, one thing I just feel led, I want to talk to you face to face. And, you know, You had a great gift, and you memorized the Bible, but one thing I feel that the Lord wants you to practice is discernment. She said, Julie, these are things I don't have. I said, well, ask God to give you. Whatever you ask God, God will give you freely, because the Bible said so. Come boldly into God's throne and ask. And she said, well, what if something I discern and wrong? I said, that's okay. Nobody do one thing just one time and success. Einstein failed 999 times. It's 1,000 times he is succeed for invent light bulb. And I said, you can talk to me anytime about anything, because when I said this, I know she's not ready to receive that. She is afraid to make mistakes. She is afraid. So I said, hey, call me anytime. And if you want to drink coffee or whatever, you know. Sometimes during my prayer, Lord will remind me about things happening in my life earlier. The people who I around. And it helped me to evaluate what I should change, what the things I can have better method, and how to pray for people and help them open their eyes to see the truth, because truth set people free. God is a loving Father. We as a Christian, we need to have this passion and compassion to help people to grow mature. To help people to say, like Jesus said, come walk on the water, come to me. And encourage them. And if they start to sink, reach them, help them. In this life, so many things can fail, and so many things can distract us to do different things. As I said about 2 weeks ago, New Year, it's a time to help us to evaluate what we did last year, what we can improve, what we can cut off so has a lighter baggage to carry. God wants us to run the race without carrying any unnecessary baggage. But also there is the wisdom, if you walk through the desert, you need to have water. Otherwise you will die. There is the wisdom. That doesn't mean you walk through the desert, you just carry a lot of things. You carry necessary things. There is a wisdom and a knowledge. How to share the good news. How to encourage people. Thursday night, Patrick said this, really, I was laughing because he said, one time, his uncle talked to one drunk, and this drunk knows the Bible inside out. This drunk is trying to argue with his uncle, and his uncle said, you can be delivered from drunkenness, you can be delivered from drinking so heavily, and then just walk away. After 2 years, this guy met his uncle again. This guy said, I just want to say thank you so much because you walked away. I have to think, I was mad and I just think. And then Lord speak to me, said, you can be free of drink alcohol. And then he started to go to church and he is totally, you know, set free. There is a method. Maybe this world thinks it's unwise. But if the Lord asks you to do something, there is a reason. If the Lord asks you to go somewhere, you will bear good fruit. If you are the one who decide follow the Lord, then no matter what this world, no matter it's a tornado around you, you will be safe. And not only you will have good life, but also your kids, your children, and the generation to come. Because this is what was God's promise. And God wants us to seek Him with your whole heart and love one another. Scott?
Amen. Let's stay with John chapter 15 and go back there and talk about fruitfulness. I think the Lord is telling us that He has ordained us. So let's look at verse 15 and verse 16 of chapter 15 of John. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Remember, Jesus told Peter, from now on, I will make you fishers of men.
Yes.
From now on, you'll be catching men. When he caught so many fish, but Jesus said, you are going to have a new calling. You're going to have a new job. You're going to have a new ordination that I'm going to ordain you to bear fruit. This is what Jesus came to do, to bear fruit himself, but also to choose his disciples that they would be fruitful in all that they do. And he said, to do that, you need to ask whatever the Father, from the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So this is the promise that God already has provided, so you can be fruitful. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 that says, these works God preordained that you should work, walk in them. And the works that He ordained for us to do, He's already provided for us that we should do them and accomplish them. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, God already provided that fruitful life that He has called us to participate in. That we will be co-laborers with Him, workers together with Him, and bearing fruit together, and asking what we need when we need it. But then I want to read on in verse 18, because there's one thing I see, or several things probably, but at least one major thing that keeps us from being fruitful. It's being become fearful because of the Word of God, or to shrink back because of the persecution that comes against the Word of God. It's the Word that is being persecuted, but when we stand up for God's Word, guess what happens? We are the ones who are caught in the persecution. Look at verse 18 of John 15. If you were of the world, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Now we all know the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, each case of the seed being sown in someone's heart had different conditions, but every one of them had to do with Satan's offense of the Word of God. He's trying to destroy the Word of God. Satan has come against Jesus, and he's come against us because of God's Word in us. That's he, first of all, the first condition is he comes to try to steal the Word from the heart where it has been sown. And Jesus here says, if they hated me, they will also hate you, because you're not of this world. You are from a different kingdom. You are not from this world. We think it's kind of strange sometimes when we see all this stuff on the news concerning Christians being persecuted, or that they're trying to take away the various monuments or things that we have established in setting up the Ten Commandments or whatever. But there's always persecution come against the Word. Come against that Word. I mean, it's the Word of God. And we are believers, and those who believe in the Word, those who receive the Word, and those who act upon the Word, they have the Word inside of them. Now, Christ says, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So what we need to do is find people who love God's word, who love God, and they want to obey it. If you go to Matthew chapter 13, let's look at the various situations that we find God's word being planted in people's lives, people's hearts. I mean, it all has to do with God planting his word in you so that it will rise up and bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit of yourself. It comes from God's word inside of you. Look at chapter 13 of Matthew and verse 10. The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Why not? Because they don't have ears to hear. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have hearts to receive God's word. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." So Jesus is talking about those who were unable to hear that he was the Messiah, and that he had come to present God's word to the world. Then he tells the parable of the sower. You know from experience what this says. In verse 3, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root," they withered away. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here Jesus is telling us that there are various conditions, but all of them involve losing the effectiveness or the fruitfulness of God's word. First of all, the first situation is the seed is sown in the heart, but Satan comes immediately to steal. this word that was put in there. Look at verse 19. This is the interpretation. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, mm-hmm. what was sown in the heart. Mm-hmm. The second one, verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
Yeah.
See, it says because of the word. Because of the word of God, there is persecution in the world. The world is not going to love the word. It's those who are belonging to him that love God's word and desire for it to come and overtake our emotions and our actions. The word is what bears fruit in us. You cannot bear fruit of yourself. That's why Jesus said, I've ordained you to go and bear fruit.
Yes.
By putting himself inside of you, giving you the word of God, planting it in you so that you will be able to do the works that he beforehand prepared for you to do. This is it's all a God, work of God. It's all God's work. That's why Jesus said he could do nothing without the Father's help, without God doing the works in him. And he tells us that we can do nothing. Without me, he said in John 15, you can do nothing.
Yes.
So here, they say the man had no root. In other words, he had no depth. He had no deepness in God. He had only endured for a little while. Then when tribulation or some persecution against that word comes, he stumbles because of the word's sake. And the third one is verse 22. When he receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world mm-hmm. and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands the word, who indeed bears fruit and produces 100-fold, 60, or 30-fold. 30 times as much. This is God's multiplication, where we understand that he can cause us to bear fruit because we allow the word in us to do something, to do God's will, and let that seed grow up and bear fruit in us. We can't let these things happen to choke it out. This last situation is where the seed was received gladly. It started to grow, but then the deceitfulness of riches came to choke out the fruitfulness of the word. In other words, it's an unbelief, a spirit of unbelief that comes in, and it began to rely upon the world and seek riches more than seeking God's word's fruitfulness. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground. What is the good ground? It's a faithful ground. A ground that has been cultivated and a ground that bears, that is faithful. To receive the seed into the ground. And it's a ground that is of good soil. Good ground. It has fertilizer in it. It has faith. You mix faith with the word of God and you get that fruitfulness will come into your life. So Jesus is telling us not to be offended because of the word of God. But the world will be offended and they will persecute you, he said. So we need to understand the word And we need to receive the Word of God to receive His revelation so we have understanding. It's what Julie read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 that says that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. So, if he cannot understand the things of the Spirit, who can understand the things of the Spirit? It's a spiritual man who receives what God has for him. Praise the Lord. And God has chosen those who are simple and weak and have faith to receive understanding of God's Word. Not everyone will receive that, but only the spiritual person is able to understand what it means. You can read the Bible, an unspiritual person can read the Bible and not get the wisdom that comes from God in it. Why not? Because there's a blockage in them and they have not been enlightened on the inside of them. That's why Paul said, pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined, 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's verse 5. Verse 6, however, we speak of wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But, verse 10, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So, my message to you tonight, seek the deep things of God.
Yes.
Have some root inside of you, so that there will, when the persecution may come against you for the word's sake, you will not be moved. You'll be standing strong and say, I am standing with Christ. And Jesus promised that if I obey, if they don't like His word, they won't like our word either. It's really they are persecuting Him. But God has revealed the truth to us because the Spirit has come to teach us about the deep things of God. To have a deep commitment and a deep connection with the Lord. Remember what Jesus told Peter when he was borrowing his boat and he's about to go and preach and push out into the water? He told Peter, go out into the deep and catch some fish. Go move out into the deep and catch some fish. This has a lot to do with our understanding of being in the deep things of God. You will catch fish. You will catch people for God's kingdom. You will be able to be effective and fruitful in sharing the gospel. And it will have fruitfulness in other people's lives. You will be fishers of men. I believe God's calling you to be a fisher of men and women, to go out and proclaim and bring them in, because you're fishing in the deep place, the deep things of God. Not shallow, water, but deep water, so that you will bear fruit. Now, our church has a theme. We try to have a theme for every year, and our theme this year is take root, bear fruit. Or take root downward and bear fruit upward. But it has to do with sowing deep and growing and bearing fruit. And this is our goal for this year. So I would say for all of us tonight, let us say to the Lord, take us deeper. Take us deeper, Lord, into a deep understanding, because you have spoken to us the word and given us revelation of what it means, teaching us, Lord, things that are spiritual. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that everyone who's listening here tonight will be given ears to hear, will be given eyes to see spiritual things from God. And they will be able to enter into the deep things of the Lord so that they can move forward in bearing fruit in every situation. Father, that their lives will be so abundantly full of the fruit of the Spirit that they will be able to show off what God's character is like in their own life.
Yes.
That people will see Jesus in them.
Yes.
Because the love of God will be shed abroad in their hearts. And Lord, you will make them visible to this world. Lord, as we venture out into the deep, we will catch some fish. We will catch some people for the Lord's sake, for His kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you make us fishers of men and women, that we will be able to cast the net and bring in a great harvest and a great revival. Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for helping us to bear fruit, because you are the one who has ordained us to go forth and bear fruit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.